text for the sermon this evening is Psalm 103, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 103, the Lord, Jehovah, who is our Savior, Jesus Christ, teaches us to stir up our soul, to stir up all that is within us, to bless the Lord, and say of Him, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." This whole psalm is filled with reciting the Lord's benefits and praising Him for them. It is as the apple tree among the trees of the woods, and its golden fruit has a flavor that no fruit ever bears unless it has been ripened in the full sunshine of God's mercy. It is the believer's reply to the grace and mercy of the Lord, his song on the mount, answering to his Redeemer's sermon on the mount. Verse 7 of Psalm 103 gives still another reason we should bless the Lord. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. First, this evening, who is our text speaking about? He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, who for us men and our salvation came down to earth and took to himself a true human nature in order to be our Savior and redeem us from our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who is qualified to make God's ways known to his people. The Apostle John writes in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing that was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And then John adds in verse 9, "That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." And in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And John concludes in verse 18 of John chapter 1, "No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 27, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, is the one who reveals the Father to man. And that is why Jesus says here in verses 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Apostle Paul writes to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And in the letter to the Hebrews, the apostle begins in the very first chapter, the first verse, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, "But even if our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Christ is the image of God. God gives us the light of the knowledge of his glory through the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He came from the Father. The Father and the Son and the Spirit are one God in three distinct persons. As the eternal Son of God in human flesh, Jesus is uniquely qualified to make known the Lord's ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Jesus is uniquely qualified to reveal God, to reveal the Word of God, to reveal the ways of God, to reveal his acts to men. Second, let us consider those who do not know God. Not everyone knows God. Who are those who do not know God? Jesus says in Matthew 11, verses 25 and 26, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight." Who are the wise and prudent that Jesus speaks of, from whom God has hidden his ways? These wise and prudent are the ones who do not know God. That might seem strange to you. You may think, surely the wise and prudent will know God. But who are these wise and prudent? The wise are those who have knowledge. They may have studied philosophy or science or some other difficult field of study at a university. The prudent are those who have ability to think well and have a sharp mind. The wise and the prudent are those who have a combination of knowledge and mental ability. They can understand. They have knowledge and ability. These people who are wise and prudent are wise and prudent in their own opinion. Jesus is not saying that they are truly wise and prudent in the final analysis. They are wise and prudent in human qualifications, perhaps. They are wise and prudent particularly in their own opinion. You do not have to be wise and prudent in the opinion of others to be wise and prudent, as Jesus means here in Matthew 11, verse 25. It does not take much for us to think of ourselves that we are wise and we are prudent. We are all very confident and very sure of ourselves, regardless of whether we have academic qualifications. We think highly of our own opinion. It does not take much to puff up these wise and prudent people. If others think they are wise and prudent, it feeds their pride and their confidence. They are in society and give their opinion. Everyone is impressed by it, so they note how impressed other people are, and they become even more confident. They are the wise and prudent in their own opinion, and perhaps also in the opinion of others. Whether it is in the opinion of others or just in their own opinion, it comes down to this. You have your thoughts, and you have your thoughts about religion, and you may even speak about God. You can see how ridiculous this is when you analyze it. We pontificate about God and give our opinion about God and say who He is and what is right and what is wrong and what we do not like about God and what we think is good about God. We often hear these things in our society today. Who is man that he should be a judge over God? This is who man is. It is incredible to think how impudent and irreverent we are. How proud and wise and prudent we are in our own opinion. Some might well be wise and prudent because they have read much. They have read philosophy. They have read world religions. They consider themselves a bit of an expert. They can marshal their arguments, their reasoning. They can be very impressive. They can win arguments to their own satisfaction. They have come to their own conclusions. These are the wise and prudent. In Matthew 11, verse 25, our Savior has in mind particularly the wise and prudent with respect to the Bible. He's thinking of the Jews and how the Pharisees and Sadducees were so wise and prudent. They thought they knew the Scriptures. And they came to their own conclusions. This is who God is. They would judge others and elevate themselves and their knowledge of God and the Bible above that of others. We think that we have read a little. We have our own opinions. We've read the Bible. We have been in debates. We have been in conversations. And so we have built up a repertoire of argument. This is my opinion of the world. This is my worldview, and this is my view of God and religion, as if others want to know. you may think, like such a person, that you are well positioned. You may think you know, but I suggest to you, you know nothing. You know nothing of God and the gospel, and you are bankrupt. And you are a fool, because these things are revealed. There is a problem in your very position of being wise and prudent. The gospel is hidden from such people. The ways of God are hidden from such people. Who God is hidden from such people. Why do you think the gospel is hidden from the wise and prudent? There are a few reasons. One reason is the gospel is not for only those who are intelligent, wise, and prudent. The Lord has not provided a gospel where only the intelligent can work it out and understand it. Like Einstein's theory of relativity. And pity those who are not so intelligent. And pity even more those with learning difficulties. Do you think that is the kind of gospel God has given us? The gospel is for all people. It speaks to the understanding and the intelligence of the soul, not primarily to the understanding and intelligence of the human reason of the mind. There are many reasons to doubt the intelligence of the mind when it comes to the gospel. This is not a gospel that you can work out. You cannot work out the gospel like a mathematical formula and so believe. No, no. The gospel is revealed. It is not worked out. Man is not the judge over God and the gospel who can decide, yes, I think it is true, therefore I will believe. That is not the gospel we have. You will not find that in the Bible. I'm not saying there is no place for reason and intelligence and the understanding of the mind. God created us with minds and with intelligence. The gospel is facts and truths. But the mind of man, the Bible says, is not able to receive it. The truths and the facts must be presented. Here is a dilemma. Here is a kind of puzzle that we must preach the truth, yet man cannot receive the truth through his own mind, working it out with his own intelligence by itself. Another problem with the wise and prudent is that the scriptures say more than once that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God resists those who are proud in their own wisdom and prudence. The wise and the prudent are seriously disadvantaged. God is against them. If someone who can give you something important is against you, you know you are in trouble. The wise and prudent come against this wall, this refusal. The more you try in your pride to work out God, the less you shall advance, because God resists the proud. It is not the way to come to God. It is not the way to find the gospel. The wise and prudent also do not see their need of Christ. The essence of the gospel is that we need to see our need of Christ. We need to understand that we are desperate sinners. The wise and prudent are going the wrong direction. They think they are wise and prudent. They think they are special. What they need to understand is that they are desperate sinners, and they are condemned by God, and they are dark, and they are evil, and they are wicked. They are heading in the wrong direction. They're lifting themselves up instead of decreasing themselves in repentance and confession of their sin. How far they are from God. They're going in the wrong direction. Trying to work out God as if they were above God and they can work it out for themselves. In addition, man's wisdom at best is utter foolishness because man is dead and blind spiritually. You can work things out in your head. You can actually even understand the gospel in the scripture in your head. But your heart is a million miles away from God. All that this knowledge has done is made you clever, made you understand the gospel. But your blindness is such that you could not even understand the gospel. You could even understand the gospel, and you could even preach the gospel, and yet not have it and not know God. That is the condition of the blindness and the unbelief and the deadness and the death of the heart of man. It's frightening. It's a frightening death. It's a frightening deadness. It's a frightening unbelief. Unbelief and death and deadness are so frightening. This deadness in man's heart is a power to be contended with. It's not just deadness. Man's wisdom is often darkness. Man is influenced by those around him, by the books that are available. He's influenced by atheistic and godless people who have no sense of the truth of the scriptures and who are unregenerate and who are against God in their hearts. They write all the thoughts and ideas of their minds and their hearts, and others read them and are filled with atheistic and godless thinking. Even greater darkness can come upon them. Not just that we are blind and dead, but another darkness can be added. Our hearts are dark already, but there's another darkness of the influences and the wisdom of this world. I warn you that the devil is in the world. The occult is in the world. These dark influences are all around us, and they're in our books and in our universities and in our schools. These influences will be there and will fill the minds of men, women, and children. So we find that man who is wise and prudent is dark and even devilish at times. Are you one of these wise and prudent? If you are, then you are in trouble because you know nothing. You do not know the truth of God at all. Do not know Christ. The gospel is a remarkable knowledge that comes through the mind and enters the soul. The soul understands in a different level and way. There comes true conversion. Without that, even if you study the Bible like some theologians who understand but are not saved, or you fill your mind with the ideas of philosophers of this world who speak of life, or just with your own thoughts and your own conclusions, probably produced by the media, you're not saved. You are without God and without hope in this world. The media are godless people who hate the gospel. They fill your mind with ideas and you take it all in. You come to the conclusion that you understand, but you know nothing. You will never know anything. You will not know God in that way. There are so many things against it that it is an impossibility with man. The Lord is saying that the ways of God, and especially the gospel, is hidden from the wise and the prudent. Not only can they not get it that way, but God resists them. It is hidden from them. God says, no, you shall not have it in that way. Not in darkness and in blindness, not in pride.
You shall not have my gospel in that way. You have to approach me in a totally different way. Who are those who do know God? Those who know God are those to whom God reveals himself. The Lord says in our text in Psalm 103, verse 7, he made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. And Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. The Father knows the Son. The Son knows the Father. This is special knowledge in the Trinity. There's something else here. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. That is the gospel. Otherwise, there would be no way we could know God. There is this and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Who are these people? They are the babes. Does that offend you? Are you not willing to be called a babe? These babes have this knowledge. And Christ reveals this gospel to these babes. Does this offend you? Are you too proud to be called a babe? There's something unobtainable about this knowledge of the Father and the Son in the Trinity. We cannot possibly know the intimacy and the depth of the knowledge that the Father has of the Son and the Son has of the Father. That is theirs alone. It is intimate knowledge. You could describe it as eternal love. You think of the Father and the Son, the bond of the Trinity, that unity. Whenever they speak in total agreement. They are one God in three persons. There is love between them. There's agreement between them. They know each other. The Father knows the Son. The Son knows the Father absolutely perfectly with a depth unimaginable to us. This is the knowledge of God within the Godhead. What a mystery this is to know God. How can we know God? We can know something of this knowledge. God reveals something of the knowledge of himself. That is remarkable by itself. He revealed his ways to Moses. He revealed his acts to the children of Israel. That is remarkable in itself. Something of this secret, something of the deep things of God is revealed to some. These some are the babes, is revealed to them. That is what the Lord is speaking about in our text in Psalm 103, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. It is revealed, it is shown to them. Notice the word revealed. This revealing is so important, this making known. We cannot know without God showing us. We need his help. Oh, how we need his help. Because the opposition is desperate and dire. There is an inability in us to know God. We have lost God in the Garden of Eden when we sinned, and we continue in sin. There's a great chasm between God and us. We are in a position of great total depravity, but also total inability. We cannot know him, even if we have the facts. We still are incapable of knowing him. We have no desire to know him. We cannot know him. It's all hopeless. We're truly dead spiritually, and we need help. What great help we need. We need help to open our minds. We need help to open our hearts. Many have had the experience of hearing the gospel for many years, and then one day the Lord opened the mind and it all became clear, and a gift was given to them, the gift of faith. We need the help of God to believe, and that has the effect of humbling us. It changes our whole approach to God. Instead of trying to understand God and trying to grapple with God, all of a sudden, I am helpless. I am hopeless. Like a babe, I need to be fed. I need to be clothed. I need to be helped. That is what happens. There is a revelation. God reveals himself. God makes known his ways and his acts to babes. Christ comes to the soul, and there is a revelation of God to our soul. Then we understand. We move from darkness to light. There was a revelation of God, an awareness of God. Suddenly he was there in our lives. We felt his presence like we never have before. We knew he was God, and we knew we were sinners in his holy presence. We felt our poverty. Before, we thought we were wise and prudent. But now we could not feel like that anymore in the presence of the Almighty, who is wisdom, who is knowledge, who is light. We could not speak a word in the presence of the one who is truly wise and prudent. We felt our need of a Savior. First, a sense of God, and then a sense of yourself. How small you are. And then you are desperate and feeling, how can I ever know him? I now understand I cannot understand him. I now understand I do not deserve him. I deserve judgment. I've sinned against him. I'm a sinner and he is holy. You understand now, not in your head only, but in your very heart. You feel it, and you know it in your heart. And then there's the revelation of Christ. The Holy Spirit brings Christ to you and reveals Christ to you. And he tells you, I am the Messiah. I am the Anointed One. I am the Lamb that God himself has provided for you, a sinner. I'm the only Savior of sinners. There is a cross, and all your sins are washed away in his blood shed on the cross as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ went to the cross to die and remove all our sins. He removes them from us as far as the east is from the west. We read in Psalm 103. And as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward the babes whom he saves and to whom he reveals himself. Christ
accomplished our complete salvation. He did it wholly, fully. All who trust in him shall be saved. All their sins are removed. What great news! What good news! What amazing news! There we were in the depth of despair, feeling our sinfulness. Then Christ comes and forgives our sins. This wonderful revelation of God is joined with the gift of faith. We still needed help. I need to believe. I have no strength to believe. How can I believe? You must believe. He gives you the gift of faith and the strength to believe. You can try to believe without Christ, but you will never be able to believe without him. When Christ reveals to you his ways, then you believe. When he reveals to you his acts, his great acts of saving power, then you believe. Then you have the peace of sins forgiven. Then you know God as Christ reveals him to you in his word. Then you know God in your heart. We know God, and we know the deep things of God. The facts of the Bible come alive, and our hearts experience those truths. In the book of Revelation, John saw God. That is what happens when you are converted. You know God and you know Christ, and those who know God and who know Christ are the babes, not the wise and prudent of this world. They are the simple souls who humble themselves low in God's presence. They do not come and offer their opinions of God. Rather, they receive from Christ. They receive from God. They receive God's own revelation of himself, God's revelation of his ways and of his acts, of his salvation, of his Savior, his own Son. They receive his grace. They receive his gift of faith. We are receivers, not givers. We do not give. We do not give good works. We do not give ability. We do not give knowledge. It's all no good because it's sinful. There's nothing that we can give that will be any good. We come empty-handed. Nothing in our hands we bring. Confessing our sin, confessing our hopelessness, confessing our helplessness apart from Jesus Christ. So what are some ways we should apply this in our lives? This is such an important reason to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. He made himself known to his people. That is reason to bless the Lord every day. We can only know God through his revelation of himself. He shows us himself. He reveals himself to us. He reveals his ways. He reveals his acts. He reveals the way of salvation from our sins. It is hidden, and God reveals it to us. Christianity is revealed religion. The center of the gospel is Christ, and Christ is revealed to sinners. Christ becomes living water within us, springing up unto eternal life.
those who know God, those who know Christ, are truly wise. Those to whom God has revealed Himself are wise because they know God, who is wisdom. They know the greatest and the best truths there are to know. How can you know God if you are one of the wise and prudent, not one of the babes? How can you know God? How can you know Jesus Christ, whom He has sent? Jesus tells you in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me," Jesus says, "all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The only way that you can know God is to come to Christ. Come to Christ as a babe, as a helpless sinner, and beg for His mercy. And all who come to Him, He says, "I will in no wise cast out." Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You and we bless You that You have revealed Yourself to us, not only in Your mighty acts of creation and of providence, but also, Father, in Your mighty acts of salvation and of judgment. And we thank You, Father, that You have made known Your ways to us in the person of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in some form or fashion that we can work out if we have enough intelligence, if we spend enough time, if we use the right formulas, if we read the right books, if we do the right things. But Father, You come and humble our pride. Take away our blindness. Remove the darkness and shine the light of Your glory into our hearts in the person and in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that suddenly we see You. We know that You are God. We know You are the Almighty One, the Holy One, the Just One. And we know that we are sinners. And then we see our need for Christ. We see our helplessness. We see our hopelessness apart from Him. And we see that He is perfectly suited to meet our need. And Father, You give the grace. You give the gift of faith. You give the strength to stop trusting ourselves, to stop flailing in our minds and in our lives, so desperately trying to be good enough, or so desperately trying to explain away and remove Your justice and Your judgment from our minds and from our consideration. And we realize we stand condemned. But Christ was condemned for us. Lord, You're not able to reveal Your ways, reveal Your Son to the wise and prudent, but You are. Do it, we ask, for Your own name's sake, and bring them to be part of Your people, saved by Your grace, And Father, may we bless you every day that you have revealed yourself to us, that you have given us true wisdom, that you are teaching us true prudence, that you have caused us to come to Jesus, to take his yoke upon ourselves, and to learn from him. Teach us more of who he is, and sanctify us, and strengthen us, and keep us by your grace. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.